If you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18. Again, if you don't have a Bible, we have several at the foyer there. We are going to read from verse 13 to 27. Exodus chapter 18, if you're joining us online. Exodus 18, 13 to 27. The next day Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint to them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. This is the word of the Lord. And at Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that since the Bible is God's word, and we are God's children, then the Bible is God's word for us. Father, we come before you this morning. We acknowledge your presence in this place. We pray that your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, may teach us today, that in your own way, Lord, you may speak to us. In your own way, you may teach us, you may rebuke us, you may correct us, and you may train us so that we can become more like you and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have realized since coming to America and spending some time here that one of the hardest words to come out of an American is, "I need help." It is difficult for us to admit when we need help. It is difficult for us to confess that we need help, because it makes us feel weak. It makes us feel inadequate. It makes us lose our self-worth. And therefore, we have people that are suffering. They need help, but they are not ready to admit it. These people can be found even in churches. They attend worship services every Sunday, but they are afraid to say, "I need help," because the culture does not allow us to appear as weak people. And because it is hard to admit that we need help, it is also hard for us to accept help. Because if you accept help, then in a way you are admitting that you need it. So it is easier to turn away people that are willing to help you, because by accepting their help, you are also admitting that you need help. And the culture does not promote that. And because it's hard for us to accept help, it also makes it challenging for us to give help. I think that's why it is easier for us to say, "I'm all set." Because we want to project that picture that we are in control, that we are doing well, that nothing is wrong with me. Moses finds himself in a position here, a position that clearly shows that he needs help. But Moses doesn't know about it. He's not aware of his own need for help. So Moses needs someone to come along and point it out to him. Fortunately, his father-in-law had visited, bringing back his wife and his two sons that were left behind when Moses went to Egypt. He spends the day with Moses. Moses shares with him the testimony of God's work, what God has done in his life, in his experience, how God has delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. He shares with his father-in-law, Jethro, and his father praises the Lord. He says, "Surely there is no God like the Lord." The next day he visits Moses in his ministry, and he notices something that is going on. Early in the morning, Moses wakes up. He sits on his judgment seat. He's acting as a judge and as a prophet as well. And the people are gathered. We are talking about over 1 million people. And the whole day they are bringing their problems to Moses. He's teaching them God's word. He's directing them. He's correcting them. He's rebuking them. He's solving their problems. And Jethro observes that from morning to evening, Moses is dealing with this. And he decides to help. Jethro realizes that Moses needs help. And so he steps in and he begins by telling him, "Moses, what do you think you are doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to carry the burden of all these people alone?" And Moses, of course, tries to justify himself. says, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is thought, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties, inform them of God's decrees and instructions. He says, I'm the only one who can help these people. And Jethro says, what you are doing is not good. What you are doing is not good. Moses' ministry here includes solving disputes and teaching people God's word and helping them apply the word of God in their lives. That is his ministry. The problem is not what he is doing. The problem is how he is doing it. And Jethro says, what you're doing is not good. And listen to what happened. He says, it is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. You and these people will wear yourselves out. You may think you are solving a problem, but you are creating another problem. That is what Jethro is telling his son-in-law. What you're doing is not good. The burden is too heavy for you to carry alone. And then he makes a suggestion. He says to Moses, you need burden bearers. You need people that can share the burden with you. You need people that can come alongside and help you. Moses, you need burden bearers. It is sad that we have people that are serving the Lord and they end up being exhausted, no longer able to serve the Lord because they thought they could do it alone. Serving the Lord should be the best thing that one can do, but it also should be one of the most relaxing works that we can do. When we realize that ministry belongs to God and that we can only do it God's way. Every time Christians experience burnout, it is because they are trying to do God's work on their own way. It is because they thought that they were the only ones who could do it. It's because they thought that they were the best that God could have. We have pastors that are leaving their churches because the work is too much. And we have other people that are served in churches and they can no longer do so because the burden is too heavy for them. The burden becomes too heavy for you when you are trying to carry it alone. The burden becomes too heavy for us when there is no one else willing to help. Since we are dealing with people in ministry, because ministry is people business, there will always be needs. There will always be people that need our attention. There will always be opportunities for us to carry one another's burden. There will always be opportunities for us to help others. Because we are dealing with people. And people have needs. Emotional needs, physical needs, financial needs, and spiritual needs. And you and I are the people that need to come alongside and help bear the burden. And I think this is the reason that God has us in a church. This is the reason we have this body of Christ that has many members with different gifts. So that we can use those gifts to make the other person's burden lighter. So that we can use the gifts that the Lord has given us to help the other person feel more encouraged, more loved, more appreciated. And so Jethro tells Moses to select men. And he provides some qualifications for leaders. And let me give you three things that Jethro suggests here. Because he says, capable men. Okay? But this tells us that a leader must have the ability to lead. He did not say, just go and select anyone and put them in charge. He says, capable men. They have the ability to lead others. They are gifted in that area. It is always problematic when we place people in leadership who are not gifted to lead. One, a leader must have the ability to lead. Because as a leader, if you are not leading, you are just taking a walk. And then number two, he says, people that fear God. A leader must have a healthy relationship with God. So we're focusing on the ability. Can this person lead? Do they have a relationship with God? There's a spiritual aspect there. There is the giftedness, the spiritual aspect. And he says people that hate dishonest gain. This is a relationship with others. They have the ability to lead, they have a healthy relationship with God, and they have a healthy relationship with others. Now, as a leader, if you don't have a healthy relationship with others, whom are you going to lead? So when we are looking for leaders, we are focusing on people that have the ability, relationship with God, and with others. Not people that want to stay away from people. It has to be people that want to relate. It is in relationships that we correct others. It is in a relationship that we are able to be an encouragement to others. So Jethro here is a burden bearer. He's a burden bearer because he's coming alongside Moses to help. He has seen a problem and he is helping find a solution. He has seen the heavy weight that Moses is carrying and he is helping to carry the weight. Jethro is a burden bearer here. No one asked him to help. Moses didn't even know that he needed help. Jethro observed, and God enabled him to see a need. He tells Moses, if you listen to me, and God commands that you do, this will make your burden lighter. God helped him to see what Moses was doing, and he responded to that invitation. Now let me ask you, how many times have you seen a need and ignored it? How many times have you seen someone stuck on a highway and you just drove through? You know what I do nowadays? I carry gas in my car. Purposely, if someone is stuck, I will stop and ask them if it's something I can help. And if it's gas, I will help them. I carry it to help. I do that intentionally because it gives me an opportunity to connect, but also to present Christ to someone else. And so I carry gas in my car. There are so many opportunities that we have if we are willing to take them. But because of the cultural attitude, because of the cultural expectations, we avoid being burden bearers. You know what comes to our minds? Oh, they can call AAA. Oh, probably someone is coming to help them. We justify our unwillingness to help by naming something. There's a day, it was night, actually last winter, there's a car that had steered away. I think we were coming from a meeting here because it was night. And I stopped. There was a young man. He had actually had an accident. Someone had hit him and drove away. I stopped. He was shaking. And when I stopped, another car came and stopped, and this was a lady. And I was asking her, so we helped him, we pushed the car away. I asked him if he needed a ride. He said he had called his brother, was coming to pick him. And I stayed with him there until his brother came. But I turned to this lady because when she stopped, I saw a car seat in her car. And I thought maybe there was a child there. I asked her, are you not afraid? Why did you stop? And you know what she said? Because I saw you stopping. That's what she said. A lady. It was almost midnight during the winter. Now, of course, I spent time, I talked with this lady together with this young man, and I gave them the invitation cards. I've never seen them again, but I want to believe that every time they share that experience, they will also talk about me. The problem is, instead of asking what will happen to this person if I don't help, we usually ask, what will happen to me if I help? Jethro is asking here, what will happen to Moses if I don't help him? And he tells Moses, you and these people will wear yourself out. It's not about him. God helped Jethro to see the problem, and Jethro responded to that invitation. Here is the message. Burden bearers are God's gifts to God's people. They're God's gifts to God's people. Jethro tells Moses, there are people here that God has blessed in this place, in this congregation, that can share the burden with you. You just need to identify them and give them some responsibilities. Moses listens to his father-in-law and he does it. He delegates. He realizes that I can still be in control without controlling. But he had to identify the right people. And that's the key. It is having the right people in the right place. Capable with a relationship with God and with others. Burden bearers lifts others up by providing support without expecting anything in return. Now this is very challenging for us, because we are tempted in many ways to do things expecting something. Expecting, we have people that have left churches. They have left their faith because the church did not do something to them when they needed it. Because they were so committed and so faithful, and one day they had a need and no one paid attention to them and they left. It is possible for us to be tempted to serve with an expectation. Instead of serving in love. When you serve in love, you will not have expectations. Let me just tell you some stories here of some burden bearers that I have come to experience in this church. And I'm not going to name everyone, but I'll share with you some few names. When we restarted our in-person worship, you guys saw me, I was handling the Zoom, and at the same time being involved in other stuff. And that was stressful in many ways. And then one day, Robin came to me and said, I would like to handle the Zoom. I can do that. I did not even think twice. In my heart, I said, thank you, God, for opening her eyes to the burden that I've been carrying. And I told her, you have my blessings. Go ahead and do it. And I don't have to think about it anymore. Robin is a burden bearer. She came alongside and provided support. She saw the need and she responded to it. Another person is Ruth Ellen. I'm so encouraged with what you have done in providing the leadership to provide meals for those people that have had some difficulties. That is what SBF needs to be. Ruth has led people into providing meals for other people, members of our church who are struggling with health issues. Ruth Ellen is another burden bearer. Another person that I really see the attitude of serving and with a smile is Miles. Miles, many of you or all of you know Miles. Miles has been very helpful. He is willing to take on a task, and sometimes I even ask myself, what is it that will take to stop him? Not that I want him to stop, but I like thinking ahead so that I can deal with that thing which can stop him before he stops. Miles is a burden bearer. And I can talk of Alan Murray, who one day he told me, I want to take care of this so that on Sunday you don't think about this. So that you pay attention to what you need to do on Sunday. And I realized here there is someone who realizes what it means to share a burden. Yesterday I received a text from Sandy. Sandy, your second name is a little bit difficult for me. Eisenbach? Sandy sent me a text and he said, well, in the event that the church is cancelled, if you still want to record the message, I am willing to give you a ride. He understands that my car, the tires probably are wearing out, I don't know. But he says, I'm willing to come. And Sandy lives in Manchester, I live in Pepro, Massachusetts. I'm willing to give you a ride so you can come, record the message, and I will take you back. And I said, I will take that offer. He is a burden bearer. You see, when you realize that you have people like those ones, it's an encouragement. It shows you that there are people that understand the weight and they are willing to carry part of it. These are some of the people in here that have been a great blessing, and I want to encourage you to keep up. Let me give you three characteristics of burden bearers, and then I will be finishing this message. Number one, they see the burden, they see, they understand the weight of the burden, and are available to help carry the burden. They see, they understand the weight, and they are available to help carry the burden by offering to help. These people will visit, will pray for you, they will send a text or make a phone call just to be an encouragement. These are not people that are waiting for you to tell them that you need help. They see the need. They understand the weight, and they come alongside to help. That is a characteristic of a burden bearer. This is what Jethro is doing to Moses. Number two, they have a good sense of judgment and are sensitive to other people's pain. They have a good sense of judgment. They can discern this is a genuine need. This person is going through pain. They are sensitive to that. I'm not going to say this to this person because of what they are already going through. Have you heard the saying that Christians are famous for shooting the wounded? Burden bearers are not famous for shooting the wounded. They are famous for helping the wounded. We have Christians that are, they feel so self-righteous, so self-centered. All they see is a problem. They are negative. Whenever they come alongside you, they add into the problem rather than providing a solution. They are a pain in the neck, a thorn in the flesh. They're the kind of Christians that you want to avoid. But sometimes you pray and you ask God, please do something about them. But in bearers, they have a good sense of judgment and are sensitive to other people's pain. They're not like Job's friends. They see him suffering, and then they add into the pain by claiming that his suffering is because of something wrong that he has done. They are sensitive. Christians can be very discouraging. They are famous for shooting the wounded. That's not a compliment. Number three, burden bearers put others first because their goal is to lift others up. They know that the weight you are carrying is putting you down. So their goal is to lift you up, and they know in order to lift you up, they have to carry part of the weight. And so they come alongside to help. They put others first because their goal is to lift others up. Let me repeat this so quickly. Burden bearers, number one, see the burden, understand the weight of the burden, and are available to help. Number two, they have a good sense of judgment and are sensitive to other people's pain. Number three, they put others first because their goal is to lift others up. Others are self-centered, self-righteous, but burden bearers are Christ-centered and other-centered. They then ask, what is it that will happen to me if I stop to help? They ask, what is it that will happen to this person if I don't help? That is what the Good Samaritan did. The priest and the Levite were thinking of themselves. The Good Samaritan was thinking about the wounded person. Burden bearers are God's gift to God's people. My encouragement to you is this. In your life, you need a Moses and a Jethro. You need to be someone that is willing to accept help and someone that is willing to provide help. You need to be someone that is willing to accept help and someone that is willing to accept help. And do you know who our greatest burden bearer is? It's me. No. The greatest burden bearer is Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53 verse 4, we are told, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. In Jesus Christ, the burden of sin that we have been carrying for a long time, the burden of sin that was putting us down, taking us to hell, was carried away. God looked and he saw the heavy burden that you and I were carrying, and on the cross he decided to take it upon himself. Any person that does not know Jesus Christ is walking with a heavy burden. He is paining. He is feeling the weight. He needs help. He may not understand it, but he needs help. She needs help. If you are walking in this life without Jesus Christ, you are carrying a heavy burden and you are in need of help. And Jesus is providing that help for you. When he died on the cross, he was saying, I am willing to carry your burden. That's why the Bible tells us to cast our cares upon him, because he cares. It is not good for a Christian to carry a heavy burden while other Christians are around that Christian. As SBF members, we must be willing to carry, to bear one another's burden. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 reminds us to bear one another's burden, and in so doing to fulfill the law of Christ. Calls us. It is not a choice anymore. When you realize that Christ took your burdens, it's not a choice anymore for you to come alongside another person and be of help. Jesus is our greatest burden bearer, and therefore, when we bear one another's burden, we become like Christ. And remember, burden bearers are God's gift to God's people. Will you make a choice today to be a burden bearer? Will you make a choice and say, because of Christ, I am going to bear another person's burden. I will not wait to be told. I will come alongside and be of help. I will be looking for those opportunities. Next Sunday, I will be looking at people. I will be looking at their eyes to see who needs my help. And I will help them. There is that old lady, that neighbor of yours, that cannot shovel their snow, cannot clean their car. You can be the Christ that lady can see. When we bear one another's burden, we become like Christ. We become a gift to God's people. Will you make that decision today to be a burden bearer? Father, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for your people. I thank you for this service. I thank you for your word. I pray that in your own way, you may make this message more applicable to your people's lives. that, Father, they may apply it, that it may challenge them, but also encourage them to be burden bearers. And through it all, Lord, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, may everyone say, Amen. Amen.